Hello, hello, and welcome to Self Care is Sexy. My name is Chris, and I'll be your host. We are a weekly podcast that's here to generate and share self-care ideas with each other. Last week on our show, I interviewed Miss Yvonne Downing from Hoopin' It Out. Wasn't she great? What a fun self-care idea she shared. You just grab a hula hoop, head to the park, and turn up the music. If you're interested in trying adult hooping, connect with our good friend Yvonne on Facebook. You can find her at www.facebook.com/hoopingitout. Or if you've got some questions and you're looking for one of those amazing adult hoops that she talked about, hit her up via email. It's hoopingitout@outlook.com. And of course, if you're looking for any inspiration on how to get started, check out some of her videos. You can find those at www.thehulahoopgirl.com. What an incredible interview. I had so much fun. We'll be sure to catch up with her again. Alrighty, a few quick housekeeping notes before we get into today's show. First of all, we have our next Self-Care is Sexy brunch coming up in July. If you want to join us for some in-person conversation about self-care, make sure you like us on Facebook to get all those details. And I could really use your help with this, guys. Please, head over to iTunes and make sure to rate this podcast. It would mean so much to me. It just takes a few minutes and your review could really help others find this show. The more people we've got in this community, the more ideas we're going to collect. The more ideas we're going to collect, the easier it is to really apply self-care to our lives. So thank you so much in advance for all your reviews. Okay, so for today's show, I had planned to bring you a terrific interview that I had with the amazingly witty and fun John Tucker on our show. But after this weekend's tragic mass shooting in Florida, I felt compelled not only to just talk about it, but just give you guys some tips on how you can self-care your way through understanding this like senseless, incredibly horrible violence. If you're unaware of what I'm talking about, on Sunday, June 12, 2016, at 2 a.m., an armed gunman shot and killed 50 people, wounding an additional 53 or so inside a gay nightclub in Orlando, Florida, called The Pulse. This has been the largest mass shooting in American history. It's a difficult thing to process, and it most certainly has caused us grief, even if you're not gay. You can identify with victims how they, you know, just went out for the night clubbing, and you know, why do we do that? Why do we go out? You know, we go out to have fun and forget our troubles. And so it's so hard to understand like why this would ever happen. And it's really affected me. And it reminded me of how, unfortunately, I've had to kind of process this stuff my entire life. Just being like a child of that media era. I think it kind of started with Desert Storm. I remember the news had kind of like a death toll count, which is so sad. And I felt so helpless. A close friend of mine's brother was killed in that action. And I had so much sorrow surrounding it, but I didn't know what to do with it. Cause you know, it wasn't my brother. And even though I was there for my friend and stuff, and I knew her brother, I felt out of place with my grief. I think Columbine, Kurt Cobain killing himself, 9/11, Sandy Hook, all of these tragedies have wounded me and affected me in the same weird way. So, you know, I have all these examples of grieving for someone I don't even know. And I started wondering, why is that? And kind of looking at that, well, it turns out it's totally normal. And especially for empathetic people like myself, when we see someone in pain, we kind of really, really understand how it feels. And there's like this ripple effect that these tragedies have on us. Even if we're not connected to the actual events themselves, we see it, we internalize it and identify with the sadness, and it just kind of causes this pain. And grieving for a cause or people we don't know, it's also a way to allow the sadness that we might be holding about other things, like to let it come out. And we also kind of feel like a bigger part of a group when we grieve as a collective. So with all of that in mind, I decided to take this opportunity to try and help heal and give some tips to our community, our Self-Care is Sexy community, because I know that if this tragedy has affected me as deeply as it has, that it has to have affected other members of our community. So I kind of want to start out by just kind of going over the five steps of grief. If you're not aware, when you go through the grieving process, whether it's for a loved one or a pet or a cause or a tragedy outside of yourself, there's sort of five sort of steps that we all universally go through. It kind of starts out, so I'll give you the five steps, and don't worry about writing anything down. This will all be in my blog post if you'd like to refer to it later when you're not, you know, driving or out on your walk or doing whatever. So the five steps of grief are, the first step is denial and isolation. So it's kind of like you just remove yourself from the situation and you just try to avoid it. And in that, you know, you might find yourself overindulging, whether it's in, you know, alcohol or, you know, trying to check out in any way that you have. You just kind of like deny it's even happening and you don't want to be around other people. And that's very common. You see people that are going through death, that they've lost somebody close to them. They'll go out binge drinking or they'll just kind of fly off the handle. And that's kind of a normal thing to happen, turns out. The second step in grief is anger. So I've seen this a lot. I've dealt with this a lot where it's just like, I get so mad. Like, how could this have happened? How could one psycho gunman go into a club and shoot up all these people? Like, how did not 10 big gay bear daddies jump on this guy and stop this from happening? You know, it makes me so mad to think about it. And so obviously anger is a healthy part of the grieving process. You have to feel angry and upset about it to kind of build up that emotional wave so that it can break. So the next step, step number three in the grieving process, is bargaining. I know this for certain. I've gone through this many a times in my life. Like, you know, please God, just get me through this thing and I will give up candy for the next year or for the rest of my life or whatever, you know. You start to like, take me instead. I've heard a lot of people that have gone through the grieving process say that. I want to take their place. You know, you start bargaining with God or the universe or whomever that you know, whoever you at that point feel has the power, you try to bargain with them. You try to reason with it. And it's a part of the grieving process. And it makes a lot of sense because now you're trying to get to the action part. If you take me instead, then that person will be alive and their goodness will live on and do so much more for others. You know, that kind of thing. You're getting more in, out of the emotional part and kind of getting into the like action part. But unfortunately, that leads us to step number four in the grieving process, which is depression. You know, I think a lot of us know what depression looks like. If we've not experienced it ourselves, we've seen it in other people. Some of the signs of depression can be, you know, sleeping a lot, of course, crying a lot. And I just want to pause here to say, crying in and of itself is completely healthy, totally normal. Please do it. It's a great release. What I'm talking about when it comes to signs of depression is like, you know, constantly crying or crying over you dropped a fork and that just sent you into a tailspin. That's a good like sort of red flag or heads up like, hey, you might be having a bit of a depression going on right now. Are you ready to address it? If not, continue. If so, let's start addressing it. Some other signs of depression is like not showering, not eating, not doing the things you typically like to do. So, you know, you just kind of got to watch for that. You got to look for like, what are you avoiding right now? And what are you not doing? And is that at an acceptable level? The fifth stage of the grieving process is acceptance. For a lot of us, this part of the grieving process, you don't really know it's happening until you can kind of look back and go, oh, okay, I've accepted that this is how it is. This is the fate that has unfolded. And that person, that pet, or that cause, that pain has happened. And I accept that that's a part of the cycle of life. And it's truly a difficult thing to really understand. I know in the Buddhist philosophy, there's a lot of talk about it's an actual practice of accepting that, you know, you're going to die and things end. And suffering is a part of the human experience. And those are really hard concepts to wrap our brains around and to really understand. Regardless if this shooting affected you in a way that has caused you grief, it's important to know that grieving for something that isn't directly impacting you is absolutely normal. And knowing these steps of grief and being able to identify them, you know, maybe not while you're actually like going through them, and certainly not in that order, but knowing these steps and phases can really help. It can heal you, and it can help you to kind of step outside and look at how you're feeling. So again, just to kind of recap, those five steps of grief are denial and isolation. Number two is anger. Number three is bargaining. Number four is depression, and number five is acceptance. So what do you do, you know, if you've been really grieving over this enormously tragic event, or, you know, other events or other life situations that are too painful for your heart to deal with? I came up with some ideas that I think will help our community, because you know what? Now, more than ever, we've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to allow our own healing to happen. And we really need to give validation to the feels that we're dealing with, you know? So here it is. It's my list of ideas. And again, no need to write these down. They're all going to be on the blog post. So I'm going to go through them kind of one by one, and then I'll kind of break it down in the end. Okay, so here we go. Some self-care ideas to deal with these tragic events that we're being exposed to. The first thing I would say is do something. Don't lock it inside. So here are some things I came up with. Number one, get a helium balloon. You can probably get them at the dollar store, and write #WeAreOrlando and let it go. So I've done this a ton of times. I did this when my grandma and grandpa passed away. I did this with a friend of mine who lost her baby. And I've done it for other tragic events in my life. And it's an easy and quick way. You can just like go to a park or something, or somewhere outside, write something on the balloon that represents the situation you're grieving for. It could be someone's name. It could be this #WeAreOrlando. It could be, you know, something that you're trying to let go of inside your heart, and just release it and let it go. And you know what? Watch it, kind of watch this balloon and follow it as it fades away or it disappears. Really does give you a sense of closure. And I highly recommend it. It's super easy. It's super quick. You don't have to really put too much effort into it, but it's a good way to start the healing process. Number two, donate blood. So I think we've all kind of heard this. I think this became super popular after 9/11. This was a lot of Americans felt that this was a way that they could positively contribute to the good of the world and help them also feel like they're a part of the solution. And there is a massive need right now, especially in the Portland area, to give blood. And it, you know, it always feels good to give that gift. I mean, I always think about it. What if it was me, you know, and I needed blood to get through a surgery or a car accident or something? It's the most loving gift that you can give, because it's the anonymous gift of life. They've got drives going on 24 hours a day, it feels like, so you can find them easily on the interwebs. Number three on my list of things that you can do to kind of get through the grief of this horrible situation is volunteer. When you're feeling kind of crappy or down, it's really a good idea to try to give back, you know, to do things that help others. It will in turn make you feel good. You know, pick a cause that really means something to you, and, you know, you can invite friends, you could make it a date night. And there's certainly no shortage of organizations that need volunteers. It could be anything that you're interested in. You could paint houses for Habitat for Humanity. You could go feed the homeless at New Avenues for Youth. You could get involved in your church or your community centers. There are tons of ways to volunteer. And it just, every time I volunteer, I always walk away feeling like I've done something for the greater good, and it always makes me feel good about myself. Like, look, I did this good thing for somebody else without expecting anything back. I did a volunteer program with the St. Andrews Legal Clinic. I remember afterwards thinking, you know, I love my job and I love that I get paid for it, but doing it for free to help others is so gratifying. So get out there, find something that you believe in and volunteer. Number four on my little list of ideas is write a letter to Congress, even if you never mail it. So, all right, okay, I understand this idea might seem a little trite, I get it, but I've done this before and I don't care what minimum wage worker they've got in Congress opening up and responding to these letters, but it's always so cool to get that letter back, even if it is, you know, a computer generated response, because it just makes me feel like my voice is heard, even if it's not, and it also helps me to process and kind of get it all out. So, for example, when I get angry about certain things, the coal exports, that was a big thing happening here in the Northwest. And I wrote Congress a long letter, and it helped me to identify the solutions that I would put in place. And it made me feel good to know that, hey, I don't have the time to participate in the government and the judicial process as much as I'd like, but here's my voice and here's me trying, you know, so it does feel good. You know, if you feel strongly one way or the other about some of the issues this tragedy has raised, maybe take some action to feel like you're doing something to help this issue. Write a letter to Congress. Seriously, you guys. Number five on my list, I have attend a vigil. So there are several going on right now around our country, and it just warms my heart to know that people are coming together, you know, as a community to grieve. It gives us some closure and it makes us feel comforted. It always makes me feel like, yeah, there is good in this world, you know, and we're here together to heal. So, you know, find one near you. There's going to be plenty going on. I'm sure that, you know, you can find one easily. And if not, maybe host your own candlelight vigil. You know, have some friends over, light the candles in memory of these lives, these tragic lives lost, or, you know, the grief that you might be feeling about any situation in your life, you know. And you certainly don't need like a group either. I find it very healing to grieve as a group, but you could, you know, head out to your backyard and just light a little candle and send some good loving vibes and healing out to the world and say a little prayer, you know, whatever you can do to kind of get that closure. And it's really healing somehow, just lighting a candle and sending some good vibes out into the world. I just highly recommend it. Number six on my list, I have go to a gay pride event. June is Gay Pride Month here in America. And if you've not yet attended a gay pride parade, you are truly missing out. You know, it's glitter and music and laughter and crazy shenanigans and glorious drag queens. It's a celebration. And it's probably the best parade you're ever going to attend. It will blow your mind how many people come out to these events. It's amazing. There's food and vendors and music. There's community activism and dance parties. And it's just great family fun. And especially this year, it will definitely have a somber tone to it, I'm sure. But there's one thing that gay people know how to do, and that is have a good time. And a little bit of joy and glitter and color is really what I think we could all use right now. So if you've never gone, you know, get brave, go with some friends, have a blast. It's amazing. So another of ideas that I came up with is, you know, avoid the media. So right now, I know for me, you know, I was unaware that the shooting had taken place. I chose Sunday as a day to kind of check out. And so I did not know until later in the afternoon. A friend told me while I was at, I'd gone to softball. I play softball and I'd gone to a softball game and somebody let me know and I was just blown away. I was like, what? What? How could that be? So having kind of been late to the information, I did find myself seeking out a little bit more than normal the information about what the hell happened, you know? So if you find yourself kind of grieving over this and feeling some sadness that's just kind of uncomfortable, just avoid the media, turn off the TV, tune out the Facebook. You know what? And every time you get the urge to kind of reach for the phone and scroll, just stop and maybe go to your calendar and set a self-care as sexy appointment or reminder instead. Take that energy away from the social medias and turn it back on yourself, you know, and be cautious about the information you're feeding yourself right now. The internet is not fact checked, people. Like, let's get real. Facebook is not news. You know, it's just really easy to be swept up by the stories and the opinions and the different kind of offshoots of this tragedy. And I understand needing to be informed, but truly for your own wellness, at some point you have to turn it off and just heal. The counteract to that would be to try and seek out like positive news or uplifting stories. This might very well be the best weekend to just watch little puppy videos or kitten cuteness. Also talking about it. You know, talk to your close friends, and you can always ask them, you know, if they know about the shooting and kind of how they feel. Get a conversation going. You know, talking through this kind of grief, like for a cause and people we don't know, it's a lot different. It's a subtle, painful thing to go through. But I think you'll find if you talk with people, you'll kind of start to get that sense like, hey, everybody's feeling a little sadness around this, whether or not you identify with these victims, whether or not you have strong political beliefs around the circumstances of this tragic shooting, whatever it is, just kind of talking about it and getting that conversation going, it's going to help start heal you. Okay, guys, let me summarize that real quick for you. And again, all this info can be found on the blog spot. The ideas were, number one, get a helium balloon, write the name on it and let it go. Number two, donate blood. Number three, volunteer. Number four, write a letter to your congressman. Number five, attend a vigil. Number six, go to a pride event. Number seven, turn off or avoid the media. Number eight, talk about it. And I would add a bonus idea. If this tragedy or other circumstances in your life are really causing you uncomfortable grief beyond what you can deal with, go get counseling. It is not a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of not being able to solve the problem yourself. It's actually a sign of bravery to reach out and ask someone who has spent 6 to 10 years in school training and learning how to help human beings go through emotions. Just because you don't personally know someone who was killed in Orlando, it does not mean you're not grieving. You know, allow yourself permission to attend to this grief and just know that you're not alone. Okay, you guys, those are my self-care ideas that I came up with for this week to deal with this difficult and painful situation. And I want you to know that you are not alone. You are not silly for feeling grief for someone you don't know or a cause or even have grief for any reason. Your feelings are so important. They are your experience. They are valid and they are there for a reason. So this weekend, you know, give yourself a break. Treat yourself well. Remember to say no and give yourself the healing that you need, whatever that looks like for you. And next week, I'll be returning back to our regularly scheduled upbeat and positive show. So stay tuned, because next week, you guys are going to finally get to meet John Tucker and listen to this amazing manisode. He's got some wisdom to dispense on us about self-care and other things. And I do have another really easy and fun DIY coming up, too. So lots of good, happy things on the way. That's it for this week. Thank you for joining me. If you have a story you'd like to share and you want to be on the show, please email me. It's Chris, K-R-I-S, at selfcareissexy.com. Okay, you guys, we've got some really great content coming your way, so stay tuned. And remember that self-care is sexy. We're giving you permission to put yourself first.